went back over and relooked at some of my notes, and having just Ronnie and I together just finishing the book of Acts, we're going to continue on with our word of wisdom here and what it shows and tells us. For a long time, I haven't said too much about my introduction, but as Ronnie usually does, he goes back, goes over that a little bit, so I thought I might better do that again, because this tonight is study. Let me go here to my bookmark. It is study 27, and today's date is 1-29-20. I hope that's right.
Yep.
And
Troy's birthday is tomorrow.
No, this, I'm sorry, study 28. Study 28. Our last study was the 20, finishing up the Acts 27. But I want to go back and just read a little bit again about what I wrote back, a little better than a half a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And, kind of catch us up on that. So it says, wisdom. And we see and understand wisdom as a gift of God to know both heavenly and earthly truths generally, to advance what we've been given can be expanded either by God from the heavenly or by man himself, to inquire of one who by their experience have obtained knowledge and learning of the earthly. Because, you know, nowadays so many people feel the need and the urge, and it's hard to get by now without having some extended education. And my hat's off to those that go on and get some kind of extended educational opportunities. And the merging of these, I wrote, gives us the opportunity to become wise to the principal ingredient here. And it certainly must be love, or the agape love that God has shown us in his word. It is part of the divine essence of God, which shows mankind to share, not only to share, and to regard others above ourselves. Man without the indwelling Holy Spirit is not complete in thought and deed. And we have to ask the question, why? Well, the question why is back in Genesis 3, where I've got written there when Eve met Satan in the garden, that I put there in my Bible, the test began. And I wrote it there years and years ago. And so the test still goes on. We're still in the situation to where there is sin and sinfulness in this world. But God has made a way to conquer that. Praise God.
Amen.
Because man often relies upon the traits of this world without the teachings of Christ in mind. That is our normal situation. That is because we're born in sin. His directions are misguided. Man's directions are misguided as oftentimes as he is also. With this in mind, I would bring into our wisdom study two English words, and one of the words is the word sage. It means to, it's an adjective, and it means to be wise and receptive. And two, it's based on wisdom, showing judgment, and the use of that is the noun. And it's also very wise from age and respected for wisdom and experience. And the second word that goes along with sage is sagacity. And it shows up in Noah Webster's dictionary, and I'm not sure that Noah Webster was a believer, but he pretty well describes the Holy Spirit in that respect. And so I have to kindly give him a thumbs up for what he wrote about it. And if he was not a believer, he should have been. And so I'll put it this way. And here's what I wrote about that. It was showing to be wise in quality and in quantity, and judgment, ingrained knowledge of God and discretion, having penetrating intelligence to be used for self-learning.
Well,
does that not kind of blow your socks down a little bit? And the ability to teach both earthly and spiritual direction to the human race without bias. That's about as good as I can get as far as that goes. Okay. You get learning from teaching. And teaching comes from knowledge. It comes from the knowledge of being with or sitting with someone that has had their eyes and ears opened to more experienced wisdom. Because we're all wise in some situations. But when you get learning from teaching, then that is, and it's the way I see it in Scripture, that means good work. And with the rest of it, it's like Solomon says, all else is vanity. And that's labor. And he called it labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was labor. So I made a note here when I looked this up back half a year or so ago. Wisdom comes in two words, basically. But now this is basically in the Greek form. 4678. And that is Sophia. And also Strong's 4080, and it means a higher, lower, worldly, or spiritual wisdom. Now, let me go back and read that again. Higher is God's wisdom, lower is man's wisdom, worldly is man's wisdom, and spiritually is God's wisdom. So they are two of the both, either way you want to look at it. And there's a quantitative form of the base in the feminine that goes along with this word 480 in wisdom. And it's 4225 in the Strong's. And that is the word poo, T-O-O. And it means some in the English. It means some, or it means nearly, or close, or about. So when you're talking about wisdom, you know, it can be in a situation, a matter of these things. 231 times in Scripture, 33 times in the New Testament, 3 times in Ephesians, 6 times in Colossians, which we'll get to in a few studies down the road. So having said that, and having read that, we're going to go not to those right now, but I want to take you to Proverbs again. We did just a little bit of one study in Proverbs when we started. Must have been less than 4, 5, or 6, somewhere in there. But I want to go back and look at Proverbs again, page 865, if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And that's about all the time we'll have for to do tonight. And then we'll do the rest. We'll get involved with it a little more in the next study probably. Okay. In the Hebrew, there are two words for wisdom. And the broke down form of that word is mashal in the Hebrew. And also in the Greek, there's another word there that's used some, and it's paroimai in the Greek, and that is any dark or sensuous saying. And it means to rule and govern the life. And it's not human wisdom in collection, but of divine rule from heaven for the earth. And I found out that in looking back at this again, that it's these words dealing with wisdom can come in a lot of different stages. And the one stage that you want to look at, if you're going through and studying and looking at the word in the Hebrew too, because mashal also has another word that goes along with it, and it means to know, and that's the word chokma. And that's for discerning wisdom. That is meaning by the hearing of the ear and dealing with the ear. The things of the outer or outside, and that's something that's hard to kind of grasp or get your finger around, but generally it means the things of the earth. And generally speaking, you know, if you're dealing with the outside, it's kind of like sitting in the woods and you hear these sounds. And a lot of times these sounds are not human sounds. They're sounds of the things that the Lord has put here for man. But it's the outside. That what you're seeing there or hearing there is an outside observance, just like you're in the woods or deer hunting or squirrel hunting or whatever. You're using the sense of your ears to get the direction from where things are coming from. Well, that's an outside direction. It's not an inside direction. It's not a direction from the heart or the mind. And so that's more of an ear sensation.
Input from the world, yeah.
So,
it's noisier than you might think too, usually.
Yeah. And so, verse 1 deals with the ear. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And that is to know wisdom and understanding. Well, we just discussed that a little bit. The things of the outer or outside, to follow instructions, to perceive, to see or feel the words of understanding, because the first part of verse 2 is the outside part, and the second part of that verse is to perceive the words of understanding. Well, to perceive there gives you a different sense from hearing. It means to see or feel. Well, if there's something outside, unless it's snowing or raining or sleeting, it's something you can't feel. The perception there is the thing out from around you. But to perceive something means that you get a grasp from that, from either from the inner self or from the inner being or from what you have learned from God's Word. So that's the two different things there in verse 2. So the first part of that, verse 1, and the first part of this is in verse 2 is the ear. The second part is to feel or see. And you know, in this day and age, you can't believe everything you see, because the electronics of this age is fixed to set with our entertainment, so to speak, to the point where, you know, and I see a lot of this, and I don't really know what they're doing, but they'll put this thing on their face, and it looks like some kind of screen there.
That's exactly what it is.
And they do things, and it's all a form of bringing your brain to a point where you can do things with your hands or something that gives you a game or whatever it is you're doing. I've never had one on, so I don't know. But I do know this. I do know enough about it to where I know if you're looking at through that thing, you're not seeing what you know you're seeing. That is all.
Yeah, it's a man's computer game. Generated reality. Yeah,
it's reality that way. Okay.
Virtual reality.
So that's verse 2. So, you know, I understand that Proverbs were written, you know, a long, long time ago. And, but still, that seems to be kind of the truth for now, because basic, your basic thing, first of all, with dealing with wisdom is hearing. It says, truth comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Or faith. Faith cometh by hearing.
Yeah. So, verse 3 says, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. To receive the instructions of wisdom deals with justice, judgment, and equity. God is good. God is love. God is gracious in what he has given to man and what he has produced for man to have and to know and to understand. So, the receiving, both seeing and hearing, and the instructions are teaching of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And that's full stop there at the end of that. And my note says this. This is from heaven for the earth. And that's what we just said a while ago. That they are things that are from heaven for the earth. And they are earthly. They are already here. It's just for our learning or understanding. But the justice, judgment, and equity comes from a changed heart. And a changed heart comes from God. It is one that has put away sin in that situation and said that they believe God. Psalms 51. God has spoken, and we believe
Amen.
God. Okay, verse 4. Now, all of this is not chapmah. These first four verses, and then I believe it's verse 8, is in a deal to their self, in a sense. And we'll talk about that in a minute. To give subtlety to the simple, it says in verse 4, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So verse 4 says to give subtlety or prudence to the simple or the unlearned. To the young man, it says knowledge and discretion. And that is give them understanding on how to use it, what God has given to us. And then it kind of changes gears a little bit. Well, verse 5 kind of carries it on. It says a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So a wise man will hear. He'll take it in. And will increase in learning and how to use that learning. And a man of understanding shall attain or to seek after wise counsel. And this man, I think we could readily say, gets the point to what is offered. To have the ability to know the difference between the truth and a lie in that sense. Now, verse 6, and if you ain't figured it out by now, we're going to go from here, or when we get done with, might do another one in Proverbs, but when we get done here, we're going to go to Daniel. The book of Daniel, because the book of Daniel, Ron and I were going back over a study that Ron's father-in-law did a long time ago, and he made a point that I hadn't heard in years and years and years in that tape, and it's been in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind.
Maybe that's why we were just listening to it.
And verse 6 kind of explains it a little bit. It says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, full stop. Okay. The rest of that verse says, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Okay. Verse 6, we'll go back. It says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Now, a proverb is quite often hard to understand if it isn't explained. It can be an allegory. It can be a discourse. It can be a taunt, according to how it's used. It can be an argument. It can be a byword. Or it can be a lament. And it can be a judgment. So the words of the wise are these things that we just mentioned and their dark sayings. So you see, when you get a proverb and you don't know the interpretation of it, then that's the problem that Daniel and his group had to deal with in the very early stages of when Nebuchadnezzar carried them away from their homeland. And they were going to be 70 weeks of seven, which means that's 490 years total of things that they owed God, because they didn't, the children of Israel didn't give him their Sabbaths nor their high holy days.
Yep.
And so that's what they owed him.
And they were determined upon the people, he said.
Yes, yeah. And so they were going to have to pay it back, whether they did it or their children or their fathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers or whoever. They were going to have to pay it back. So that's part of what Daniel's all about. And Nebuchadnezzar got a dream. Had a dream. But he didn't know the interpretation. So there you go. You know, so he had to find somebody to do it. Well, that's part of the rest of the story. So verse 7 gives us another look. It said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Full stop. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It is the approach to knowledge. Wisdom shows you that you should fear God. Why? Because he has in his power the power of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
He also has in his power the ability to starve you to death, or the ability to kill you by flood, or flood your home or your place away where you don't have anything. He has the ability to do lots of things. All these things that we call home and land and buildings and all this stuff comes from the things that God placed here for a man to use.
It's all his.
It's all his. We just borrowing it for a while.
Yep.
And it says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay. True wisdom, in this sense, and it's called true wisdom several places in Scripture, is to justify God and to condemn yourself. Because there's no condemnation in God, but in us, we're born in sin. So we have this condemnation in us. And so we have the ability to understand and to realize what God has said and what he has caused to be wrote down, and we can get out of that. Then we go to verse 8. Let me turn my page. It says, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." When he says, "my son," if you go back a couple of pages and you read Proverbs, the instructions that comes with the book or with the letter, when it says, "my son," he is talking to Solomon, because these things were given to Solomon to understand. And also to live by and to teach others. He says, hear the instructions of thy Father and forsake not, or do not throw away the law of thy mother. Your Father, He's educational as to the earth in the sense of being here. Also the mother in the sense of being here giveth life and instructions for her son's future family. That's the way God intended it to be. So what you have here, your father's to give you a way that you can make a living. And for your mother, she's a life giver. She gives life to the children and instructions for the children to bring theirs up in a life the same way. Does that make sense? It really should. Verse 9. It says, For there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So it goes on with the things of the Son. These things shall be an ornament or a garland. A lot of times we get the word ornament, which, you know, if you get a picture from outer space at the earth, it's like a giant ornament. It has been dressed. So, it says, there'll be an ornament of grace unto the head, that your head should be graced in a certain way, showing knowledge, and chains about the neck. For what reason? Showing cheerful and willing obedience. So I guess these things, these ornaments sometimes that we adorn ourselves with, that other people look at, maybe tells them a little bit about what we ought to be or what we are, in a sense. Because there's lots of things that's unseen that do that. We sometimes don't even recognize them. You know, what causes a man to choose a woman, or a woman to choose a man? Or they choose each other. There is an attraction there for some reason and for some way. And that is to carry on the family principle. So these things, when you have wisdom and understanding, then you use everything in your basket, so to speak, to deal with the things that you want to have for the rest of your life, quite often. Verse 10. It says, my son, or Solomon, and here's kind of another chakma area, but it's dealing with things external. And a few verses deals with this. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, Solomon, if sinners, those who miss the mark, entice thee and miss the mark of God, consent or agree not, or agree thou not. Verse 11. If they say, come with us, Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. If they say come with us, that is telling us to think on this. Give it some thought. And when they go on to say, let us lay in wait for blood, for those whom we may harm, you know that you're in the wrong crowd. And it says, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And that's full stop there. And that what you're saying is to take by force, to slay and to rob. There's a lot of them out there. And that is something that needs to be, let your feet go as fast as they can away from it. Verse 12. It says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave or the pit or the hole. And when they talk about those being whole as those who go down to the grave or the pit, in the natural way. Man, he has spent his time. God has taken care of that. If he goes into the pit or the ground, the natural way. 13 says this, we shall find all precious substance. We shall find their house with spoil. So he's still talking about the ones in verse 10. It says, if they entice you, this is what you're going to have. They say we shall find all precious substance. And in common language is all their treasures. We shall fill our houses with spoils. So he's saying, well, what's theirs now will be ours. But oh boy, look at 14. It says, cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse. Can you believe them? If they would do that to an unknowing person, could you trust them with anything? Cast in thy lot among us. Join in our ventures, they're saying. Let us all have one purse. Let's just pool together what we get. We'll fill up our houses.
Yeah.
There is no honor among thieves and murderers. You cannot trust them. No way. If they would do that to some unsuspecting person, they'd do it to you just as well. He says in 15, my son Solomon, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Goes back to our walk study. It says, my son Solomon, walk not. And that word there is Yolak. You remember Yolak and Halak?
Mm-hmm.
Yolak, walk not thou in the way with them. That is not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is Yolak. But man's way is Halak. Let's read the rest of that. Refrain or stop thy foot from their paths. and their way of life. It says in verse 16, for their feet run to evil. And that's hollow. That's the way man wants it to go. Man is rather run to evil than to run to God. This is kind of the way that they'd rather believe a lie sometimes than believe the truth. And make haste to shed blood. It doesn't bother them at all to shed the blood, which goes back to Ronnie's study, which God knows where all the blood is.
Yeah.
So you don't get away. Even if you get away in this life, you won't get away. Verse 17 says this, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And I read this and I looked back at it and read it a little more. Oh, how much wisdom there is in this verse of Scripture. It says, surely in vain, or to no good, the net is spread. Now, if you want to catch, and most people don't eat birds of prey, but if you can catch one bird one way, a lot of times you can catch other birds with the same theory, but not the same way. Think on that a minute. Now, but a bird of prey, if you put the net out, you got two nets. You put a net out with something under that net that bird wants, he's gonna come for it. He's not scared of the net. He's looking to get whatever's under that net out. And he'll swoop in, and if you've got another net, then you can capture the one that was going to capture the bait. That's the way a bird thinks. That's the way a bird does. Okay. So, a net does not deter a bird of prey. But it says, the net is spread in sight of any bird. And so there's lots of birds that can be trapped the same way and can be caught because the other birds are going to come to try to get it out. We call it crow hunting around here.
But I think his point is you can't let the bird see you putting the net out or you ain't going to get it.
Yeah, so, but if it's already trapped, they have a feeling like there's some way they can get they can get that out from under there. Whether it's a bird to eat or whether a man can eat or whether it's a bird that the other bird can eat. Okay? Or a rabbit or some kind of animal that an eagle or a bird of prey can get. So, that's a little more wisdom there. Then I thought I'd get out of this, but I guess not. And it says, talking about man, and they lay wait for their own blood. And they lurk privily for their own lives. These are the people that lay in wait to grab somebody else because they can't see that's going to entrap them too. Okay. And they lay in wait, it says, for their own blood. They take chances. They lurk privily for their own lives. They don't, in doing this, if they're laying in wait as a highwayman, what we would call, or a robber, they can't see that they might be in peril theirself. All they can see is getting this treasure, getting this stuff, but it may cost them their blood also. And it says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So if you lay in wait to take somebody else's life, it might cost you yours.
Happened more than once, I bet.
Just because they wanted something that wasn't theirs. Earthly treasures, I call it, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And so that's what I wanted to look at today, but we started a little late, so I got another 5 minutes. So I want to do about two more verses, because these two or three next verses are real chalk miles. They are real things that deals with the outside public places, so to speak. And we think that, you know, and Mark was just here talking about how bad people's gotten to come on property of others and things.
And in this area. Yeah, which
but
means.
here's a couple of verses, and let's just read them. It says, wisdom crieth without. And that means in public places, or in places that you wouldn't think there would be any danger. We're talking about streets, open squares, or in this time, this was written, city gates, or markets, or buildings. And it says, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And that could also mean women who sell themselves for profit. And it's done in public quite often. Or in places where, you know, we go to buy our groceries or where we go to do this, that, or the other. And so that is an outside situation. That's in public places. Lots of times you may hear it and not see it. And 21 says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she utters her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scornings, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my report. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make known my words unto you. See, a lot of times we get the picture of the bad stuff that's out there. But God says, there's another side to this story. There is another lead to this place. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. And we'll stop there. Because if you don't heed, see, feel, and hear what's around you, it can quickly turn into calamity, whether you're out in the public or whether you're at home and somebody decides they're going to waylay you. And I know this is seemingly a bad thing to talk about, but yet.
Pretty bad one, guys.
Even back then, it was still bad. I mean, the earth has been bad. And God says, in Daniel, I'm going to tell you these things. I'll tell you these secrets. You'll hear a proverb, and I'll give somebody the understanding. And that was Daniel's job when he was carried off by the people. But looking back at what man has been through all down through the ages, you have the ones that tries to do well, do good, and you have the ones that won't heed and won't understand.
Yeah, those are big verses where he says, I'll make known my words unto you, and because I have called and you refused, stretched out my hand and no man regarded it, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Like, I'm trying to tell you and you won't listen.
You almost
feel the pain of a father or a mother telling that to their children. Like, I tried to help you and you just turned your back on everything I already knew.
He called Solomon all the way through the book.
Son, yeah.
He has chosen him and given him this wisdom to pass on to others and for him to deal with it. But, yeah. You know, I'm not sure how much, if Solomon got him 800 wives, I don't know how much wisdom he had. Oh, Lord. You know, and thinking back about the Song of Solomon with the young girl that he wanted so bad.
Yeah.
And that was played out in a play or something that when they went to Jerusalem every year, they got that message again every
yeah.
year because it was to be played before them at a certain time of year. So that's, God has left us with all this understanding that quite often we don't know or don't heed or
Amen.
Don't take time to look at. We get maybe on a good Sunday morning, we might get two or three verses in a normal place of worship, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's conjecture. But how much real truth is in that unless somebody has really given it some thought? You don't
yeah.
get the real truth there. So the real truth is here. It's in this book. It's just the fact that we need to take it and use it for our own benefit. And the ability to have to teach the word of God rightly divided in this day and age. Thank you for your time and thank you for waiting on us to kind of get started because we had company here for a minute and then we was waiting to see if we could get anybody else too, but it works out. So it's all good, as Doherty says, it's all good.
Amen.
And, thank you for the opportunity. And we'll pick up and go with it next time. You'll just have to kind of wait and see, I guess.